The saga continues. Welcome to RP3 and Company. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, better known as RP3. I'm joined here in the lovely First South Farm Credit Studios by the producer, Nick Diaz. We got a great show lined up for you today. Not one, not two, not three. Well, no, we do have three. My bad. Got a little excited there. Three guests lined up for you today. We'll be talking Saints. That's right. Training camp starts this week. They signed a cornerback over the weekend. Does that fill their needs? Does that fix the hole they have on the roster when it comes to the number two corner? He's mainly a slot corner. They already had one of those guys. What are the Saints thinking? We'll talk to John J. Hendricks about all of that from SI Now. He'll join us in hour number three. Also joining us in hour number three, Adam Spencer from Saturday Down South. He's going to try to give us his insight on the absolute bananas craziness that's going on inside college football with expansion, realignment, and possible super conferences. Of course, we'll catch up with our guy, Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network, as we do every Monday morning at 7:30. He'll give us the latest on LSU, but also the latest on COVID here in the state of Louisiana. Things are trending in, well, the wrong direction. We'll get the latest updates from Jeff on that. That'll be coming up at 7:30. Of course, we'll take your phone calls, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. We appreciate you making us part of your morning commute, whether that's to work or school, or you've listened on the free 103.7 The Game mobile app or Google Home, Alexa, or catching us here on the simulcast. Stadium, free over the air, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Bud, how was your weekend?
Very relaxing, actually. Family came over. Why do you laugh? You just giggle.
I do, because sometimes it's just your delivery.
Okay.
So what did you and the family do? What did you and Mama the and Papa Diaz clan do?
Well, they came over. They immediately wanted to see the studios here. They were masked up, as always. And showed them around just a little bit. Then, of course, what they really wanted to do was go shopping, see some stuff that Lafayette can offer. And then it was really hot, so we cut that short.
Yeah, he was not.
Really, really cut that short. And so it was like, y'all picked the wrong weekend to come. But they enjoyed it. And then we just hung out, went out to eat, and then visited for a little bit, and they went back home.
Sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds lovely. A little family time?
Yeah.
It's a good thing, bud. Yeah, we thought about maybe going, doing something, some type of excursion, going to a state park or something like that. And then I went outside and said, no. There'll be none of that. There'll be none of that this weekend. Maybe next weekend. Instead, we spent some family time, did some home cooking, back-to-back meals. My wife cooked Saturday. I cooked Sunday. Made some homemade desserts as well.
What kind of desserts?
I'll say. The wife and the daughter and I assisted as well on Saturday. Made macaroons.
Ooh.
Yes. But my wife kept telling me, because it doesn't have coconut, it needs to be called a macaron. I don't know. She said it with a French accent.
Oui, oui.
Yeah.
No.
So that's what we did on Saturday, is that the wife cooked dinner, and then we all chipped in to make a dessert. Then yesterday, I cooked dinner, and then I made a dessert, and then the wife helped me because she wanted to take my dessert and elevate it. She wanted to take it to the next level.
Oh, I see. So you just stood and ate?
No. I did all the my daughter and I did the baking.
Okay.
I have an old recipe that my grandfather, who was a chef for
really?
50 years. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And he has an old-fashioned, like, spice cake recipe. And my wife's like, hey, why don't you make your spice cake? So since Hattie, our daughter, helped with the macaroons, she wanted to help too. So it was kind of, you know, one of nice family kind of baking, cooking together. But then my wife took some of the leftover buttercream icing that she made from the dessert prior that we had left over.
Buttercream icing.
And then she's like, well, let's put it in between. So we took the spice cake and make it, instead of making one big cake, we made two and then made a layer of icing like they do on the shows, cut off the tops, and then do a crumb coat on it.
It's like if that icing had a baby and that other icing had a baby.
So
and
yes, my wife saw what she said. She said, you should put them in two separate pans. I go, what are you talking about? I go, that's not following the recipe. Because I'm very kind of OCD when it comes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If I'm following a recipe, I want to follow it to exactly. My wife, she likes to play it a little fast and loose. She's like on those cooking shows. She's like, yeah, you know, go ahead and put two cups of this-ish into the thing.
Experimentation.
That's why she's the better cook. She's the better chef.
You got to live dangerously.
Thank you. We do. Thank you. We do. We also did some great home improvement. Did some grouting. Fun stuff.
Always home improvement at the Parth household.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. Oh, man. So, speaking of expanding and doing home repairs and repairing things, how about the SEC and its saga to add OU in Texas? It didn't stop over the weekend. A slew of conflicting reports from, what, Thursday on?
Yeah.
So, here's your recap of where we stand this morning at 6:10 on this lovely Monday, July 26.
Hang on now.
Oh, man, it's a lot to get over. Okay. So, remember when the news first broke, the news indicated that Texas A&M was, in fact, was not in the loop on this, right? And we had heard that Texas A&M was not down for this expansion. We heard that the SEC and OU and Texas had, on purpose, did not include Texas A&M in what it was doing, right? That's what we were told early on in these reports. And that they weren't even part of a conference call late last week, remember? Well, Texas A&M President Kathy Banks said this to the Houston Chronicle. Quote, since 2011, we've been a proud member of the best athletic conference in history, and we look forward to continued success in our SEC partnership for many years to come, end quote. Jimbo Fisher may not like this. The athletic director at Texas A&M may not like this. You know who likes this? You know who likes being part of the SEC? Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
The university enjoys being in the SEC. That's all that matters. Like, it does not. It's absolutely irrelevant what the fan base thinks and what the coach thinks.
Thank you.
It means nothing. It means nothing. Presidents of universities and their board of regents make decisions all the time that have nothing to do with the fans, have nothing to do with their coaches. They make a decision when what they feel is the best decision for the university. So if allowing Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC continues the money train coming into College Station, guess who's going to be for the vote of adding Texas and Oklahoma? Texas A&M. That I found interesting. That they made, there was no pissiness in the statement. There was none of that. It was very straightforward. We're happy. Now, maybe they're expressing, hey, we'd really not like to have these two universities in. But are you telling me that Texas A&M is all of a sudden going to be like, oh, we're leaving the SEC? No.
Where are you going to go?
So that's part of it. But this is not the end of it. So Texas legislature has filed a bill to require state approval for a state university to change athletic conferences. This move comes amid reports that Texas and Oklahoma have interest in joining the SEC. I do believe this gentleman is an A&M grad, I believe is what I read. Is that really what we need to be spending taxpayer dollars on? Is that kind of nonsense? How about fixing roads and infrastructure? I don't want to hear your bills, your legislation about state approval. State approval to change athletic conferences? You got better stuff to do, bruh. Stop. Just stop.
Yeah, well, like everyone's talking about, well, Oklahoma can't leave without Oklahoma State. It's state legislature. It's like that would never hold up in court. Stop. No.
Once again, stop. Brett McMurphy reported on this. This was late Friday afternoon. You saw this first. You shared it with me.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to you.
Thank you.
This is from Brett McMurphy. He told a radio station this, quote, Texas A&M being kept out of the loop is absolutely 100% inaccurate. I trust Brett McMurphy's reporting, by the way. Multiple SEC sources told me all university presidents had been part of the process all along. Anything else is 1,000% false.
Yeah, when I heard that, like, oh, Texas A&M is out of the loop on this, I'm like, that doesn't sound at all realistic that Greg Sankey would just try to pull a coup against.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. So, in addition, the ACC and other leagues made inquiries through back channels, always my favorite type of channel, to Oklahoma and Texas. The schools are still expected to start the process of joining the SEC next week. This is from Pete Thamel. Texas and the OU back channel communication to the SEC has been going on, he's reporting, for more than a year. So the report came out that it was like 6 months they've been negotiating this, but apparently through back channels, this has been going on for a year. So in the middle of the pandemic, this started.
Because they were losing money.
Once again, it's all about the money. It's all about money. It's all about the fact that the SEC has a $300 million television contract just with ESPN. Just with ESPN. This started a year ago. When we weren't even had any information whatsoever that there was dissension with Oklahoma and Texas, that they viewed the Big 12 as inferior. Even then, they were already looking at time to go. Time to go. Now, think about that for a second. The last game Oklahoma played the season before was the absolute murder that occurred inside the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl from LSU. And even after that, they were like, we still want to go join that conference. So that tells me it has nothing to do with wins and losses on the field. It has nothing to do with being part of a footprint or anything like that for recruiting, blah, 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 because Oklahoma recruits the hell out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It has nothing to do with competition. This tells me everything I need to know because this went back a year. This comes down to money. It comes down to money. That's what I've been telling y'all for. Why would they do this? Money. Comes down to money. So the back channel communication between Texas, OU, and the SEC has been going on for a year. Brett McMurphy's reporting that Texas A&M, in fact, was not kept out of the loop, that was 100% inaccurate, that they've been part of the process the entire time. A Texas lawmaker decided to file legislation because he wants his name in the paper. You notice I didn't even bother mentioning who the lawmaker is. I'm doing that on purpose. Because that's what we call an attention grab. Hey, look what I did. Remember that. That's why I run for office again. That's all that is, by the way. Yes, I'm jaded by politics. And the actual president of Texas A&M says they are committed to the SEC. Now, Big 12 administrators have discussed awarding. This is the one wrinkle in this story. Texas A&M Board of Regents will meet on Monday for discussion and possible action on contractual and governance issues relating to Texas A&M University and the Southeastern Conference. That was reported by Mike Leslie. That was late Friday night. Now, that was late Friday night. Texas A&M president released a statement to the Houston Chronicle on Saturday. So there could be some issues there. Or the president was like, yeah, we can have a meeting, but this is what we're going to do. The only wrinkle here, and this is from Dennis Dodd, is that Big 12 conference administrators have discussed awarding Texas and Oklahoma extra revenue shares as a way to entice them to staying in the conference.
That's just pathetic.
So the two teams you guys hate because they get the most pub out of the conference. They've dominated the conference since its creation, essentially. You hate Texas for a multitude of reasons. And your resolution, Baylor, Kansas, K-State, Texas Tech, TCU, is to give them more money. To give them more money. Is it going to be enough to keep them? Is it going to be enough for them not to destroy the conference, which Texas has tried to destroy now a couple times? And how's that going to work, by the way? So Oklahoma and Texas get a bigger piece of the pie? Could that entice them to stay? Could they? It feels like a desperation heave. It feels like a Hail Mary as time expires while you're down by 10. It's not really going to matter.
They're going to leave because the Longhorn Network has failed. It's failed. And so they know that.
How they failed that, how they mismanaged that is amazing to me. How you did not capitalize on that. You were the first. You were the first. Easy. Big Ten Network succeeded. ACC Network is succeeding. The SEC Network is succeeding. Even the Pac-12 Network is succeeding. Longhorn Network, not succeeding. Woo! We'll talk more about this. Unveil the poll question of the day. That's all coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Speaking of the SEC, LSU's going to be playing in the historic Rose Bowl Stadium for the first time when it opens the season, a little bit more than a month away from right now, against UCLA. You can be there for all the exciting action with 103.7 The Game's Tiger Road Trip Giveaway. Go enter in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com today so you can have the opportunity to score a round-trip chartered flight from Baton Rouge to L.A., three nights hotel accommodations, hotel airport transfers, game day tickets, and an invite to a pregame party adjacent to the stadium. That's right. Ooh, that's going to be a heck of a good time for you. But you could only win this trip by going to 1037thegame.com. Go enter to win inside the clubhouse. You got to become a member first. It's free to do so, so make sure you take care of that today. This Tiger Road Trip is driven by Sterling Automotive Group, Total Sports Travel, and 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We've been talking about the ongoing saga of Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. Sure does feel like it's going to happen that way. Texas A&M president says they're committed to the conference. Apparently, the conference is going to try to reportedly entice them by giving them more of a revenue share. That just can't work long term. That just can't work. That'd be like saying, okay, Auburn, Texas A&M, you get less money than Alabama. LSU, you get less money than Florida and Alabama. You think that's going to work? No. No. That may keep everyone from panicking. It may keep everyone from, you know, being poached away. Reportedly, Kansas had a meeting with the Big Ten on Friday, by the way. And if this happens, the Big 12 will just dissolve. Kansas, K-State probably goes to the Big Ten. I've seen Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech go to the Pac-12. Then they would add BYU or Boise to get to their 16. Kansas, K-State makes sense for the Big Ten. Apparently the conference is not that high on Iowa State. They would prefer Kansas State. That's what I've been told. But which makes sense because you keep Kansas, you have their in-state team in there, so kind of makes sense. Plus you get another win on the schedule for football. So that's checks a lot of boxes. West Virginia, obviously, making Notre Dame a full-time member in the ACC. for football permanent, and then you just add West Virginia. It makes the most sense. I saw an article over the weekend that half the teams in the ACC draw less than 44,000 or 34,000, I do believe, and West Virginia draws an additional like 13,000 to 14,000 more than that. Makes sense. You just add West Virginia. Plus, they can play Pitt every year. Their old school rival.
Yeah. Oh, the backyard brawl.
There you go.
But I've also heard a lot of that the Pac-12, multiple articles that said that the Pac-12 and TCU are interested in each other.
Somebody's going to get left out.
Texas Tech.
It may be Texas Tech. It could be Texas Tech. It could also be TCU, too. I don't know. Definitely Oklahoma State would be gone. And if the Big Ten doesn't want Iowa State, they would be gone. So I think you'd have Iowa State and Oklahoma State, and then you're looking at a third. So that's going to be between TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech.
K-State?
I think K-State goes to the Big Ten.
Okay.
I think it's a combo deal. I think Kansas says bring K-State along with us. Just makes sense because then you'd have another team right there for close to Nebraska as well. So it kind of makes sense for the region. And I just, for whatever reason, I've talked to some of my people that I trust in Big Ten country, and they don't think Iowa State's an option. For whatever reason, there's some type of disconnect there. There's some type of, where I go, well, what about Iowa State? They're like, no. I was like, kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I said, well, they said it would be Kansas State because you'd be kind of accommodating Kansas in that way. I said, okay. That kind of makes sense. Plus they say Iowa State's academics, they had that, the Big Ten has its own very, some type of academic school component to adding schools.
Yeah.
And that Iowa State does not meet those requirements. It's not even close.
Hmm.
So like Iowa State's like the party school in the state of Iowa. If you're smart, you go to Iowa. If you want to have a good time, you go to Iowa State. That's what I was told to me. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. So conference realignment feels like it's a foregone conclusion. So if Oklahoma and Texas do join the SEC, and then we get obviously they'll be the first team to 16 teams. Then we have Big 12 dissolve, and then it's get poached by everyone else, and you create four other super conferences. But how do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? I'll ask you. That's our poll question of the day, by the way. Mr. Diaz, how do you think they would fare? Do you think they could compete in the SEC? Do you think they'd be kind of like middle of the pack? They'd be, I mean, the top of the SEC, you're looking at Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Texas A&M. Those would probably be your five, right? Or would they be more like second tier? Would they be on that level of, say, an Auburn?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, it kind of depends on how good the coach is. So if Steve Sarkisian is really good, if you're a good coach at Texas, you can compete anywhere. If you're a good coach at Texas or a great coach at Texas, you can compete almost anywhere.
They thought they had one last time.
Right, but if. Again, this is if. So it depends on how good Steve Sarkisian is.
Texas is also a weird job.
Oh, yes. That's putting it mildly.
Where you have to make your boosters, you have to make your supporters feel good. You have to do a lot of handshaking and, photo ops and
baby kissing
and all that kind of stuff that it's very much a political job. The Longhorns job is.
Yeah.
Mack Brown did it very well for a long time.
Great personality.
Tom Herman did not.
No, did bad not, personality.
Did not do that. Charlie Strong did not. Once again, good coaches, good offense and defensive-minded coaches in both instances had the resume. Charlie didn't have a chance because you had people actually come out and say that they wouldn't support him, that were boosters, and it's always a bad sign. So Texas is a far more political job than Oklahoma is. Of the two teams, Oklahoma, I think, could compete.
Yes.
They've shown that, even though they got trucked by LSU in the semifinals. They've beaten Alabama a couple times in bowl games. They've proven that they could at least compete, right? They may not win the SEC, but they can compete. Texas is the big question mark because the program was down the year after. Right after they lost the national championship game to Alabama in 2009 season, they've just never have recovered. And I remember Sam Ellinger, I was there inside the Superdome for when they beat a Georgia team that did not want to be there in the Sugar Bowl and said, "We're back, Texas is back." And then they weren't. For a school that's right in the hotbed of recruiting area, they just have not been able to figure it out. Towards the tail end of Mack's tenure, through Charlie Strong, and through Tom Herman. Can Sark's turn around? I don't know.
I've always compared Texas to, like...
Are they going to be Missouri?
Oh, no, they can be better than Missouri. I mean, unless Eli Drinkwitz is just a better coach than Steve Sarkisian, and they're just incompetent once again, then yeah.
I mean, is Texas going to be okay losing four games a year?
Probably not.
I mean, that's what they've been doing. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm just saying this is a big adjustment. And Texas is not a program right now that's in a place where it can move. Like, if you're struggling to win games in the Big 12, what do you think is going to happen? Now, credit Missouri when they moved over from the Big 12 over to the SEC. They won the SEC East the first 2 years, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done. I should know how much faith I have in Texas to get it done.
Well, I said the same thing about Texas A&M, and then they eventually got a good coach in Jimbo Fisher.
And it even took him a couple years.
Well, yeah, it takes everyone a couple of years.
Yeah. It takes a while. But you have to get the right coach. That's our poll question of the day. How do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? They could compete, middle of the pack, they would struggle, or my favorite option here, who cares, go Tigers.
I did not come up with that option.
He did not. I did for you.
I wasn't going to put that option. I was going to put something else.
Right now, 56% of you say they could compete. 22% say middle of the pack. 16% say who cares, go Tigers. 6% said they would struggle. Keep those votes coming on our poll question today. Leave your comments on Facebook and Twitter at 1037 The Game. We got to take a timeout when we return. The weekend that was, we'll get to it. Lots of other stuff happened. That's all coming up next right here on the Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game, simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Oh, the Houston Astros are one of the best teams in baseball, and you can be part of the action with our latest Astros weekend getaway. Up next, the Astros take on the Seattle Mariners the weekend of August 19th to the 21st. Go register in the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance to score four tickets and a $200 Visa gift card. So that's four tickets and a $200 Visa gift card for one of those series games at Minute Maid Park the weekend of August 19th to 21st. Astro Weekend Getaways are powered by Butcher AC, Jane Jake's Terminating, and 1037 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station, and you can only win them by going to visit the clubhouse and becoming a member right now at 1037thegame.com. You know, there was more than just OU Texas rumors, reports over the last 3 days. There's plenty else to get to. It's time for The Weekend That Was.
Whether you're working or helping your wife shop for curtains,
picked the wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
You'll be brought up to speed on the highlights you may have missed.
See what happened at first was.
Here is The Weekend That Was on RP3 and Company.
Woo. Lots of other stuff to get to, and we'll start off with the New Orleans Saints. So, they signed a cornerback. Problem solved. Number two cornerback, come on down. It's a done deal. Let's make it happen. So, but there's a slight thing to figure out about the signing. So they signed Brian Poole, veteran cornerback, played the last two seasons for the Jets. The Saints do have a good tradition of taking former Jets players and doing good things with them. See Jonathan Vilma as case in point. But Brian Poole has been fairly good. He only played 9 games last year due to a shoulder injury. So he's coming off an injury season. He scored a 79.5 coverage grade in 2020, courtesy of Pro Football Focus. That's good. He was targeted 40 times. He gave up 27 receptions, but he forced 5 incompletions, 3 pass breakups, picked off 2 passes. So he's a okay cornerback. And apparently, they're going to lock this up. He's a free agent. He told Jacina Anderson over the weekend that he intends to sign a 1-year deal with the New Orleans Saints on Monday. Here's the only wrinkle to this. He plays the slot. You already have a slot cornerback. It's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So I'm a little confused here. Poole does not play on the outside. Neither does Chauncey. So who's playing number 2 corner? You just signed a guy who plays the same exact way than the guy who's essentially your nickel corner now, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's your slot corner. That's my only question. Well, ask John J. Hendricks. He covers the Saints. He knows more than I. That's why I bring on these guests, because they know more than yours truly. But I'm just a little curious there. Once again, you're adding depth. Great. But he doesn't play on the inside, and you need an inside cornerback. Mr. Diaz?
Well, I mean, you could, unless they just feel like the rookie, whose name I can't pronounce, from Stanford, that they drafted in the 3rd round, I believe. Unless they just feel like he can be on the outside. But if that's the case, I'm nervous. I mean, I'm confused like you. Like, why would you?
Unless they're moving Chauncey to the, unless they're making Chauncey their number 2.
Can he do that?
I don't know.
I mean, better him than, I guess, a rookie, but
Chauncey's been with the team now for a few years. They trust him. He's an impact player. Does Dennis Allen feel good enough about moving him into the inside and having him be your number 2? Once again, whatever they do, they drafted a kid out of Stanford to be a starting corner for them down the road, just not the first year, not as a rookie. So maybe they trust Poole or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to move them to the inside. Because here's the thing. If you throw out Patrick Robinson or P.J. Williams in that spot to be the number 2 corner to start the year, and you may be without Lattimore, we still don't know yet if the NFL is going to suspend him for the gun issue in Ohio. Correct? So we still haven't found out about that. But let's just be optimistic and say they'll still have Lattimore for the season. He won't be suspended by the NFL. Poole, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, P.J. Williams, Patrick Robinson, the rookie. You have a lot of guys who play corner. Are any of them good enough to play as the number 2 cornerback? I don't know if the Poole signing changes that. I love the fact that they're adding depth. Don't get me wrong. Adding depth is a good thing. You can't have enough good corners on your team. But unless Poole has played on the outside before. Now, he played a little on the outside last year, but primarily he's a slot corner. Maybe they believe, okay, we're going to put him on the outside. He can be our number 2 corner until the rookie can take over midway through the season. Both of them can maybe, we'll rotate both of them playing the number 2 spot. Then you keep Chauncey as your nickel, and PJ and Patrick Robinson only come in on dime packages. Okay, that makes sense to me. And maybe because of their salary cap situation, that's the best they can do. But there's that question mark. Is that what they're going to do with him? Are you just bringing in Poole to kind of hold the rope, so to speak, until the rookie catches up?
Could be that. I mean, essentially,
because it is only a 1-year deal.
Well, yeah, right? That tells you all. You know, that tells you what they think of him, because there's also injury concerns there, which is a whole other
correct
thing to worry about. But you know, something that we keep on forgetting throughout this offseason is that Sean Payton has consistently taken horrible pieces, or not horrible pieces, but bad situations, even in the middle of the season, and gone 4-1, 5-0, injuries here, you know, lack of impact players there, and just found a way to just kind of make it work. Now he's got a whole offseason to do that. So,
but he does better with offense.
True.
And he's always been able to, in the last few years, not to have to worry about the defense. Because you had Jack Rabbit the last couple of years. So this is kind of a new thing for them, a little bit on the defensive side of the football. Maybe it could work. Maybe Dennis Allen's going to tweak his defense a little bit.
I just don't think they're done.
I don't think they're done either. I would agree with you. Even though training camp opens up Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, I don't believe they're done. They're bringing in Poole to start off camp with. I think they're still going to make another move or two because they have to address defensive line as well. But they do add a player, and I guess that's all that really matters. Can't have enough depth, right? Cannot have enough depth on the team. Also occurring over the weekend, LCA 2 sports star Braylon Green committed to Liberty. Look at Hugh Freeze coming into the Cajun's backyard poaching a guy. He likes play. He's going to play baseball and football for Liberty. He committed on Saturday afternoon. He chose the Flames over Washington State and Tulane. Tulane, obviously, closer to home. Shout out to the Green Wave. Washington State, not closer to home. Not closer to home. But you know what else is not close to home? Liberty. It's not close. Not close. That's in lovely Virginia. They get snow during the winter as well. Once again, back-to-back LCA guys deciding to go to places where it gets really, really cold to go play football. Penn State the weekend before, now Liberty. But Green's going to have the opportunity to play both baseball and football, and that was something that was extremely important to him. So congratulations to the young man, the Night Star, for getting an opportunity to go play at the next level. Oh, the Olympics. They're going on, and no one told Team USA men's basketball team that they were. They lose to France 83-76 in the first game of group play. Now, they had played the two practice games, right? They played three of them. They lost two of them. They looked bad. They tried to regroup. Some guys left the team because of COVID reasons. Some guys left for health reasons. Kevin Love, Bradley Beal not on the team. They replaced him with, I think, JaVale McGee and somebody else. Evan Fournier had 28 points. Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton stepped up big. They arrived 24 hours before the game.
See, that right there. You don't want to be there.
Drew Holiday shows up and scores 18 points literally 24 hours after arriving there for the Olympics because they were late ads because of the NBA Finals. So him and Chris Middleton show up and they ball out, but no one else did. The team has chemistry issues. 83-76. It is the first time for Team USA that they've lost a group play game, I do believe. No, it's the first loss in actual Olympic competition since they lost to Argentina at the 2004 Athens Olympics. Work to be done for Team USA when it comes to men's basketball. Thankfully, we have swimming and we still have Simone Biles out there just doing things that no other gymnast has ever done. We got to take a timeout. That'll do it for the weekend that was. Hotline's open, 337-706-0111. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. You got to go make sure to vote on our poll question of the day. It's a good one. I promise. I'm just not saying that. It's a good one. Nick Diaz approved it. That shows you everything that you need to know. If he gets his stamp of approval, it's good. How do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? 56% of you say they could compete in SEC. 22% say middle of the pack. 19% say, who cares? Go Tigers. Or, go Tigers. And 3% of you say they would struggle. Madison on Twitter uses the GIF, horns down.
There it is.
An LSU fan doing the horns down.
That's Joe Burrow's dad.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I'm a little shocked by the results. Not the Go Tigers part, but that they're all saying, oh, they could compete. A little shocked by that.
I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised by 6 o'clock hour poll results. You know, but that's why we have 2 hours. That's why we have 2 more hours. We have 3 hours of this show, bud. So plenty of time for people to get in their votes. Also, leave your comments. You could do it with words. Or you could do it with GIFs. Or maybe you want to give us a call on the hotline, 337-706-0111. Doesn't matter to us. We just want to hear from you. Hour number one, the books. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Two has arrived here at RP3 and Company, and we are thrilled to have you join us for another great hour of sports talk here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, simulcast on Stadium 32.3, and 133 on LUS. You can also check us out on Google Home, Alexa, or on the free 103.7 The Game mobile app. Good first hour. Talked a lot about the OU, UT, apparently packing their bags and leaving for the SEC. Not quite a done deal yet. Lots of chatter, lots of reporting over the last 3 to 4 days about that issue. Texas A&M's president comes out, says they're committed to the SEC. Other reports come out and say that A&M's been part of this discussion the whole time. That's 100% inaccurate to say that they were left in the dark. Texas and Oklahoma are dead set on leaving the Big 12. The Big 12 is looking to give them more revenue sharing to see if that will help keep them in the conference. But it sure does look like they're going to be headed towards the SEC. And if they leave, then it pretty much looks like the Big 12 will dissolve. Kansas reportedly has already had a meeting with the Big 10 on Friday. OU, Texas to SEC. Kansas, probably Kansas State to the Big 10. Oklahoma State, Iowa State to the Pac-12, and then they'll probably add either Boise State or BYU, and then they need a fourth, and they'll have to choose between TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech. Someone's getting left out. Someone's going to get left out. Unless the Big Ten opts not to take K-State and goes with one of those other Texas schools. But you can't add Baylor. They're too far away. They just are. Maybe they could add TCU. Maybe. If you're adding Kansas, you could probably add TCU. Academics, they're known for their academics at Texas Christian University as well. That's something I haven't thought about. It just popped in my head.
Why would TCU be any better distance-wise than Baylor?
Because Baylor's in Waco, and that's farther away than TCU's in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, but it's not like
Baylor's in Waco.
I know.
Which is south of Austin.
I know that, but I'm just saying that it's not, it's still in Texas. Still a long ways to go for travel.
But it's still closer.
I know, but I don't know. It just doesn't.
I will get you a Rand McNally map afterwards, and we'll have a discussion after the show, bud.
I get that. I'm just saying it's still in Texas. Not.
Yes, it's still in Texas. Your point's valid, but TCU's still closer to Big Ten country than Baylor is.
I know, but it's still really far away. That's what I'm saying. I don't see either of those teams going to the Big Ten. Is what I'm trying to say.
I would agree, unless they want to add another good football program. See, that's the only thing the rub about the Big Ten is going to be. Kansas makes a lot of sense because Big Ten loves basketball, and Kansas is one of the greatest programs in history, right? That makes a lot of sense. But who's going to join them? Because you got to add one more. Do you add Iowa State? Well, you already got Iowa. Yeah, I've been told they're not really high on Iowa State. But once again, they weren't high on Rutgers, but they added Rutgers because of the television market. You're not getting another big TV market by adding the team out of Ames, Iowa. Now, Kansas, you get Kansas City. So that makes a lot of sense television market-wise. And my other point would be Baylor, yeah, it's not that far, but if you get TCU, you get Dallas. You get Dallas-Fort Worth TV market.
Every article I've read said that TCU to Pac-12 is what's going to happen, and that the Pac-12 is actually interested in TCU.
So who gets left out?
I think Texas Tech and either Kansas State or Iowa State gets left out, and Baylor. I keep on hearing Baylor is going to get left out. Texas Tech is going to get left out.
I see Texas Tech getting left out for sure.
They just don't have anything to offer.
No, Lubbock is not a destination. So that means, okay, so if they're going to add, you're saying they're going to add TCU. They'd add Oklahoma State and TCU. So who's the other two teams that they're going to add then?
In the Pac-12?
Yeah, because you need four to get to 16.
BYU.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm kind of shocked they didn't pick them instead of Utah. Well, Salt Lake City, but still, BYU nationally is a bigger brand.
There was also something off there on BYU's end at that time.
Yeah. But as
so do you have Boise State?
Yeah. I mean, I brought up the weird, crazy, stupid theory of UNLV. But they just, I mean, other than getting Las Vegas, what are you getting?
Correct. And if you're going to get into Texas, would you almost be better to add more Texas teams than, say, adding Boise? Would it almost be more beneficial, say, okay, you add TCU, you add Oklahoma State, you add TCU. Would it benefit you to go ahead and add Baylor just to have another team in that region?
Or Iowa State, if they get left out. Like, if Iowa State gets left out, that would make sense. Because
even though that's not a great – can you imagine Iowa State in the Pac-12?
Yeah,
this is the world we're going to live in. Yeah, because that's the one conference that is going to get – because regionally, there's no other way. There's not enough teams out west for them to get to 16, right? I mean, you're talking about, well, if they don't take the Texas team, then they have to add UNLV, BYU, Boise State. That's not sexy, right? Those aren't big names. Those aren't big enough. And historically, I mean, BYU has history, but still, there's just not enough teams out there for them, for the conference. Add Hawaii. I've always thought, I never understood why they just didn't add Hawaii, just because who wouldn't love that? But that's just me.
The traveling. They don't want their right. Teams would have to travel to Hawaii.
Yeah, but you're on the West Coast. Isn't about the travel to Hawaii going to be the same as coming to Dallas-Fort Worth?
I'm not exactly sure.
Or Ames,
sure.
Iowa?
No. Well, ugh.
Right? See, there's no good way. Like, when we talk about this alignment, it makes a lot of sense for the SEC. It makes a lot of sense for the SEC because you can simply add Oklahoma and Texas, and now you got from Oklahoma, Texas, all the way to the Eastern Seaboard, right? ACC is still in their footprint if they just add Notre Dame and West Virginia. Big Ten, they're all kind of spread out, but still, they're still Midwest to the East Coast, right? The Pac-12 is essentially going to take Pacific Coast all the way to Texas. Like, half the country is going to be in one conference. It's essentially going to be their footprint. That's brutal. That's like old school WAC, or what they're trying to do with the new WAC conference.
You do Colorado State.
Oh, I've saw that too. I'm like, oh, really? You had Colorado State? That's they would definitely be the weakest of all the conferences. They already are, but this the alignment would not help them whatsoever. Do we still have Reynolds on the phone?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Reynolds, are you still there, bud?
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. Good morning, bud. I hope you had a great weekend. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I want to make two statements. I mean, first, wow, the Big 12 really showed their hand, slapping all the other teams in the face by saying, yeah, we're going to give y'all more shares than everyone else.
Yeah,
that's showing their true colors.
Yeah, that'll work out at the end.
And, yeah, I mean, I heard that. I was like, this is unbelievable. Just they're all in, you know. I think they know that, you know, if they don't get them back, they're going to disband. So, but you know what, too? I watched some of the United States play Olympic games. That was pathetic. That was really pathetic. It looked like a all-star game, and all they threw up were threes. No inside game, no defense, no nothing. It was pretty
It was painful.
Pathetic.
It was painful.
Yeah.
It was painful.
Yeah.
But.
So, well, y'all have a good one, guys. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day.
Appreciate the phone call, bud. Have a great day. Yeah, Team USA. Woof. Wooftastic. Let's head back out to the hotline. Welcome on Chad to the show. Chad, good morning to you, brother. What's on your mind?
Not too much, man. Guys, I listened to a lot of national talk shows this weekend just because of work or not. But I'm from multiple ones. I heard Kansas State was going to the American conference.
That makes a lot of sense for them.
What's that?
That would make a lot of sense for them. And for the American, for the American, you know, we haven't thought about that from that perspective. We've been focusing on the big conferences. How about the smaller conferences? Your group of five, they're going to have an opportunity to increase their profile as well here.
Right. Hey guys, what about UL? They always wanted to go to the Big 12. Now their chance for them to get plucked and maybe go in a couple years. Because, I mean, they're pretty much on the map now, I see. And one more thing, guys. I know talks have been going on not that I know of, but just reported that with the SEC and Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma. I wonder how much Kim Mulkey knew about this months and months ago, and maybe that was one of our reasons of also leaving as well, man. Hang up and listen. Thank y'all.
Chad, appreciate the phone call. We got to dive into what Chad brought to the table.
Wow.
Chad delivered the goods. Reynolds set the table. Chad came in.
So. She would know.
Kim ain't stupid, first of all. Kim has connections. She may have heard rumblings about this and said, no. Now, do I think that was a driving force? No. Did she know? Yes. But was that the deciding force for her? No. I think she saw a great opportunity to do something awesome in her home state. And I think her relationship with Baylor had gotten to the point where it was beyond kind of salvaging. So it was time for a change.
Yeah, this whole thing probably was just a extra cherry on top. So
correct,
speak.
Correct. Kansas State to the American makes a lot of sense. Because the American and all these other group of five conferences can benefit greatly here. Because these teams are going to need conferences to plan. So, it all depends on how you kind of want to look at this. I saw someone gave out a scenario, the American having the Raging Cajuns in it, by the way. But let's say we go with your scenario. Let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say Baylor and Iowa State are left out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mountain West, Conference USA, American are all going to be in play for those teams.
And Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, Baylor. You would think Texas Tech, Baylor would be a combo with someone. Makes a lot of sense, Mountain West. Actually, Mountain West makes a lot of sense for all three of those. Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Baylor makes a lot of sense for all of them. That would beef up their conference, and I would make it a really good – and it makes a lot of sense on a map to add those three, too, because if you look at – the Mountain West kind of hits all the marks, so to speak. But there's also other stuff going on, too. So the WAC has been recreated, by the way. It's not been a lot of reporting done on this. We've briefly touched on it. Where the Southland schools, a good portion of the Southland schools left the Southland Conference, that's FCS football, So the WAC wants to play football again. So they had some of its own schools, and then they poached some other schools. And the game plan is not to play FCS football, by the way. The game plan is to play FCS football and then move up. And then move up to FBS level. So that's also going on here at the same time as well. So not only is there going to be movement with the Power 5 conferences, which are essentially going to go from 5 to 4, and to answer your question, Chad, the Raging Cajuns have long wanted to be in the Big 12, but there won't be a Big 12 left. There just won't be. Now, do the Raging Cajuns leave the Sun Belt? That could be a discussion that we could have. American and Conference USA are probably better fits. American, you'd get Tulane, so you'd have an in-state school there. So you're talking Tulsa, you're talking Tulane in that. Conference USA as well, that could be a good fit because you got Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss. Memphis is in the American. Sorry.
Yes.
That's right. So, I don't know. Like, the American is going to be appealing when you look to them. Whoever gets left out for the Big 12, you're going to see the American, you're going to see the Mountain West fight for them. That's where you're going to see those. They're going to battle it out. The American Conference, American Athletic Conference, which is all over the place, by the way. It's all over the map. And the Mountain West. And you can see those teams. Because if you go with your scenario here, let's say Kansas, the only wild card there is, okay, let's say, so the Big Ten is going to have to take someone other than K-State. Why wouldn't you go after Oklahoma State if you're the Big Ten?
Yeah, that's another
right?
thing. Yeah, that makes too much sense.
But everything I've seen, everything I read over the weekend says Oklahoma State's a done deal for the Pac-12. That the Pac-12 says, well, we're going to go right into the middle part of the country. Okay. But if you're the Big Ten, wouldn't you want Oklahoma State, though, rather?
I knew I was forgetting. Yeah, that makes sense, but I knew I was forgetting a team for the Pac-12. Completely, I knew I was forgetting someone. San Diego State.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Good point. That's good. Mountain West team, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like the last realignment that we've had, the last couple of realignments that we had. You're going to have teams shuffle constantly. And that affected the Sun Belt as well, remember? Middle Tennessee, Florida Atlantic, Florida International. They all left, too, during that realignment phase. North Texas, they all left as well and gone to other conferences. So this has a trickle-down effect. If the SEC is poaching Big 12 teams, the Big 12 dissolves, then Pac-12 is going to poach, Big 10, ACC, they're all going to poach. Well, then you're going to see other teams move around as well. So this is not going to be just a one-shot deal here. It's just not. This is going to just be the start of it. It's going to continue on and on and on. You're going to have moving pieces on the board. But it's intriguing, right? Because you're like, oh, how's that going to work? Who's going to poach who? Oh, but the desperation of just throwing money. Hey, stay. We really want to make this work. Let's go to therapy. Here's more money. Like, oh, man, really? Really? Really?
She's just not that into you, bro.
Oh, Texas was never into that, being in that conference at all, by the way, ever. We got to take a timeout. More RP3 and Company coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game, simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS.
You love sports. We love sports. My kids love sports. Our dog loves sports. The cat? What, are you kidding me? No. 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station.
The roads are clear. There are no car crashes to report. Now, if you happen to run into any problems this morning, why don't you give me a call so I can pass the word along. Call 706-0115. That's 706-0115.
The Houston Astros are one of the best teams in baseball, and you can be a part of the action with our Astros Weekend Getaways. Up next, The Astros take on the Seattle Mariners Saturday, August 21st at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Register in the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance to win four tickets and a $200 Visa gift card to the game August 21st. Astros Weekend Getaways, powered by Butcher AC, J&J Exterminating, and 1037 The Game, Acadiana's sports station.
Observe a domesticated human family in their natural habitat, known to their species as the backyard.
Hey, you think I should light it now?
I think so.
Yeah?
Oh dear, someone is about to burn a pile of debris that's too tall, which can start a wildfire. Wait, could it be? Blimey,
oh,
it is.
It's Smokey.
It's Smokey Bear. What a legend.
Smokey. What's
he hey, it's
here?
Smokey. Sorry, it was too high.
Right.
Watch as he astutely ensures that there's no wind, and how he removes some of the debris to create a smaller, safer burning pile.
No, you can't make it bigger, baby. The bigger, the better.
Take note of our fearless furry friend here, humans.
I appreciate it. Fist bump.
Watching you.
Smokey's done it again.
Hi, Smokey.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Time now for a MeTV entertainment quiz.
What is the most memorable TV show on MeTV? Is it MASH, The Brady Bunch, Carol Burnett, Perry Mason, Gilligan's Island, The Andy Griffith Show? The answer is yes. They're all memorable entertainment.
Watch all these and more on MeTV.
Watch MeTV Acadiana on KLWB over the air on channel 50.1. Check your local cable listings for the channel in your area.
Great values are happening now during Lowe's Pro Summer Savings. Stop by the Pro Desk and get an extra 5% off volume savings orders over $1,500. Plus, look for limited time values across the store, including tools, appliances, and other pro essentials to help you get the job done right. Shop today at Lowe's, the new home for pros. Discount on eligible product only and reflected in quote. Terms and exclusions apply. See Pro Desk in store for details, now through July 30th, U.S. only.
When you're ready to buy something, the first thing you do is go online. But buying a home is different. You've got loan applications, pre-approvals, competing offers, the list goes on. That's where a Realtor comes in. Realtors have expertise and local knowledge to give you a competitive edge that a search bar just can't. And in today's market, an edge is what you need. So when you're ready to buy a home, the first thing to do is make sure you have an agent who's a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
There are two types of sports reporters. Those who are respected for their ability at building relationships with coaches and players.
And here's our game plan.
Then there are those whose method of reporting is getting hammered with a college football team at Pat O's.
We're going streaking!
We'll let you guess which one RP3 is. Back to more RP3 and Company.
Oh, 1037 The Game is giving away a $100 Google Play card that can be used in the Google Play Store to buy apps, games, music, movies, books, and more. But you can only win this $100 Google Play card by becoming a member of the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. You have to go sign up today. That way you can have a chance of scoring a $100 Google Play card. So go sign up for the Clubhouse today. It's free to do so. Ooh, poll question of the day. It's getting some traction. Right now, the latest updates on how do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? We've had some movement, Nick. 54% say they could compete in the SEC. 24% say now, who cares? Go Tigers. Look at your face. You're so upset by that. You're so upset. I knew, because you would never thought of this, because you're like, no. And I knew for a fact that diehard LSU football fan would come out and vote on this poll question and lead the Who Cares Go Tigers to the second spot. And here we are at almost 7:30 in the morning, and sure enough, 24% of the vote goes to Who Cares Go Tigers.
I don't think LSU should be worried. Okay, so let's go off that, though. I don't think LSU should be – people have asked me, should LSU be worried about Texas and Oklahoma? No. As far as, like, recruiting,
No.
I can go down through the entire history of both schools recruiting against each other in their own state, and as long as you're doing a good job and have a good coach who's good at recruiting, that won't be an issue.
Won't be an issue.
Secondly, people have asked, well, if this whole nine-conference schedule, the pod system that they've proposed...
Yes.
LSU would not play Alabama, Florida every single year. They wouldn't play Auburn every single year.
They wouldn't play Oklahoma, Texas every single year.
Yeah. Well, lately, the more traditional rivals throughout history have been Auburn, Alabama, and Florida for LSU.
Correct.
Especially recently.
Yes.
They're like, well, would that upset you? For me, no. As an LSU grad, because LSU does not have a traditional rival. We've discussed this. They're very unique. Very unique in that way.
Very unique in college football, period, yes.
Yeah.
When it comes to that.
So, for me, no. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be worried. I just don't think this affects LSU that much other than they're going to get more money because Texas and Oklahoma are coming in.
Correct. And you do get to play every year an old rival of yours that's been a rival, the top rival, really twice for good stretch. Twice in the last 50 years in Ole Miss. And then you'd play a team that you have a rivalry that's kind of growing based on violence after a game, really. And same recruiting footprint in A&M. And the Jimbo Fisher connection. And a lot of other reasons why A&M and LSU make sense. So, that'd be fun, right? You're playing Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M every year. That could be fun.
A&M wouldn't be very fun.
Why not?
I just don't – well, I mean, if you're asking me personally, not the LSU fan base as a whole, I just don't care about A&M that much. Like, I look at A&M as a more pesky Arkansas. Like, the way I view A&M is they're what Arkansas was for the 2000s or early 2010s, where they were going to SEC championship games. And it's sort of like a forced rivalry kind of thing. And there's some chippiness every once in a while, but it's like that's not LSU. Texas A&M doesn't necessarily live in LSU's headspace more than necessarily Arkansas did when Arkansas was good. That's just my opinion.
It makes it interesting because Jimbo Fisher's there.
Well, sure.
As long as Jimbo's there, it's going to be interesting.
Agreed.
Because he's going to make it interesting because he's Jimbo. So that, I think, would be fun. Plus, if you could stick it to Jimbo, that's fun.
Because, I like Jimbo.
Because they run off the mouth and they print up, make glasses and cups and rings for beating you guys in, you know, seven overtimes or whatever it was.
Well, that's just pathetic. Like I don't look at that. LSU fans don't look at that as like, wow, we hate y'all. It's more of like, dude, like, stop trying so hard.
You may take that approach, but there's a lot of fans that are still pissed off about that. And still pissed off about what happened after the game.
Oh, I'm still pissed off. But I'm not pissed off at A&M. I'm pissed off at the SEC referees. It's like, to me, after that game, everyone was talking about, oh, the SEC, they're just trying to make LSU A&M a rival. So they, you know, all this conspiracy theories came out how the SEC paid off the refs because they were mad about the whole Devin White thing. And that's what they were saying. Now, I didn't buy into that, but that's what the thing for LSU fans was, oh, the SEC is just trying to force this down our throat. Screw the SEC. Not so much I hate A&M, even though they don't like A&M. It's just an observation as a lifelong LSU fan. You don't have to agree with me.
I'm just letting you speak, bud. Because based on the phone calls from LSU fans on this radio show when you were not part of it, it would suggest that there's hatred there, and it would suggest that they would love nothing more than stomp Jimbo every single year. So thus, that would be fun, is my point, that you could embarrass the guy who used your school to get pay raises not once but twice.
Well, he wanted to come to LSU. It's just Joe Oliva is incompetent.
Well, that's a discussion. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for Joe Oliva conversation. This man's trying to bring up Joe Oliva conversation. We don't have time for all that mess. That's a discussion for another day, my friend. Oh. I'll play devil's advocate here. Was Joe Oliva incompetent, or was he maybe not allowed to do his job, as we found out from the Les Miles
situation? Well, the whole system was screwed up, but he didn't help.
Your man, F. King, he kind of came out clean,
F.
didn't he?
King Alexander.
We had to take a timeout.
I hate Texas more than I hate A&M, personally, just after that one game.
You hate Texas. You hate the Longhorns.
Yes.
More than you do Texas A&M.
Yes.
I see. Interesting. You're like Shrek, bud. You have layers. You're intriguing.
You said that before.
You intrigue me. You're fascinating. We got to take a timeout. When we return, we'll have a fascinating conversation with our guy Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. Also co-host of Tiger Ag Radio. That's all coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Get it. Halfway done this edition of RP3 and Company. I've had a couple good phone calls, good reaction to the poll question of the day, good discussion from yours truly, and of course, the producer, Nick Diaz. He is like Shrek. He has layers. He's like an onion. I learned more and more about him. He's a very complex man. For being so young, he's very complex. You're like an old man trapped in a young person's body.
Am I really like that complex? Like, what is?
You're very complex.
How so? Because I hate Texas more than A&M.
No, you're very complex, man. You're very complex about on a multitude of things. I'm sure our next guest will agree with me of just how complex you are. He is the news director for the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. He's also known for his dance moves. Really. The story of Footloose is based on his life. It's the one and only Jeff Palermo. Jeff, good morning, bud. How you doing?
Not sure that last statement was very accurate.
Let's go and get this out of the way, Jeff. Is Nick Diaz a complex man?
I don't want to say complex. Actually, how did he pull off that? What was that commercial that he voiced? How do you keep pronouncing? I mean, that was a tongue twister. He should get a gold star for that right off the bat.
It's called Fête de Détèche, and
do you say that in your sleep?
No, it took it. Well, here's the Fête de Détèche part was actually the easy part because I had heard it repeated over and over again from a previous promo. All the other stuff that was written, Masse en Francais and Desitel and all that other stuff, that took a little while. But I only had like two or three takes. So.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Good job, bud. Good job. All right, Jeff. So Oklahoma, Texas to the SEC. Yeah. You think that's a done deal, bud?
Seems like it, right? I mean, apparently they've been talking about this for a long time. Greg Sankey's obviously well aware of it, based on the reports. SEC university leaders and presidents, they're well aware of this. I'm sure Tom Galligan kind of knew about this before he left at the end of June. So it seems like this is happening, and it's just amazing the world or the rate of speed, I guess, we're seeing changes to college athletics from NIL, obviously the transfer rules that have been in place, and now you have the potential of a super conference developing here in the SEC, and what's to come after that, and what this means for so many different schools, what this means for the NCAA as a governing body. Is this pretty much the nail in the coffin, if the coffin hadn't already been nailed up? And then what do you do here now with college, with the expansion of college, of the college football playoff? Do you still move forward with that? You might not even have five power conferences before this latest round of realignment is done. So it is a bit of a scary world. And I would imagine there's a lot of individuals who are looking at this that are fans of college athletics that love or that like college football and are wondering, where is this going? And is this going to be a product that I really want to watch when there's just a lot of unknowns? Maybe it all works out. Maybe it is, but you got a lot of people just going after the greed and the money at this point, and I don't know if they're really keeping in mind what's the best thing for college athletics. I don't know, Raymond, if it's good to just have, say, three big major conferences, and you know, then you just have major college athletics that way. I don't know if that's the right thing. I don't know how a 16-team is really a 16-team league is really a conference. It's just maybe it works out. Maybe everything goes okay. But again, you might not be particularly surprised by what's happening here, because when we had the latest round of conference realignment and Texas A&M and Missouri joined the Southeastern Conference, the belief was, and I remember, you know, talking about it on Tiger Rag Radio or talking about it with anybody, that the next time we would see this realignment again would be another 10, 15 years and from that point, and you would then start to see the development of these super conferences. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But this certainly does look like a done deal at this point.
Jeff, and, you know, things have ramped up so much over the last 20 years, where you've seen the infrastructure on campuses and universities funneling so much money into facilities, into their stadiums, growing their stadiums, expanding their stadiums and their capacity. And it's just kind of built up from there. There's so much growth in the last 20 years, in particular the last 10 years, where college football is now a billion-dollar entity. If they go to the super conferences, if they go to those four super conferences, will that spell the end for the NCAA as we know it? Will that be them just going, okay, we make so much money without the NCAA, we can just govern ourselves and we'll just split off entirely?
Yeah, I think that's certainly coming. And maybe even if we don't even get to the super conferences, maybe if for whatever reason the Big 12 holds on here, and I don't know, adds the likes of, I know it's not necessarily attractive, but if they add some schools to replace Texas and Oklahoma, Houston or whatever, even though I think that's still a long shot because for the Big 12, because they really they're losing their two marquee programs, and I don't know exactly how they survive beyond that. But even if we weren't having this discussion today about Texas and Oklahoma joining the Southeastern Conference, I think we would be heading to the direction that the NCAA is no longer needed, and that major conferences are ready to create their own association and figure out ways to govern themselves the way they would like to. And also, I think it's one thing that they would like to do is not treat every sport the same. You know, football is different from, I don't know, men's and women's swimming, for instance. I mean, there's a big difference, but there's the same rules are in place for both sports, and that doesn't particularly make a lot of sense. So I think these conferences would like to put a little bit more, have certainly a more say on how things are run. So I think we were heading in that direction anyways. Like I say, I think this is just pretty much the nail in the coffin for the NCAA, and I'm not sure what happens to the NCAA. Do they just then run Division II, Division III, and all that, or do they somehow retain the Group of Five? I mean, just so many unanswered questions. It's just you really don't know where college athletics is heading, and is it is it really heading in the right direction? Or is it going to, or is all this greed going to turn people off to it? That might be the case. I don't know. Maybe this is not a really good comparison, Raymond, but I think a lot of people got turned off by the NBA by the fact of, you know, the super teams developing and players, I can't win here, so I'll just join the team that beat me and I'll join them. And it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem right that Texas and Oklahoma should be in the SEC. It just seems like they should be in a different conference and stay in a different conference. And that's more fun in a way that they're over there and they think they're good. And then when they meet an SEC team, and they, in football in particular, they find out they're not as good. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll be great, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo, news director at the Louisiana Radio Network, also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. He joins us here on RP3 and Company. All right, Bud, what'd you make of what LSU had to say and what was said about them at SEC Media Days last week?
Well, I think it kind of went as I thought it would. I think Ed Orgeron, obviously, very optimistic. The one thing that I think is kind of interesting, him talking about how he wants the 2019 offense to perform like it did in 2021 offense to perform like it did in 2019, but recognizes that Joe Burrow is not here to run it. So I think we're going to find out this season. And Joe Brady is certainly a very good coach. He's an up-and-comer. But what was more responsible for LSU success in 2019? Was it Joe Brady and his play calling and the scheme that he put in? Or was it Joe Burrow and just what he was able to do at the quarterback position and able to really make that offense run? Because they're going to try to run the same scheme with the same adjustments, similar play calling to 2019, but now you don't have Joe Burrow. And now, granted, it would be very difficult to match any of those records that were established in 2019, but can this offense look like that? I'm not sure. That's a tall order. I really think Joe Burrow was a big reason to the success of 2019. And then you kind of saw it when you lost him, and obviously there were other guys that they lost. You also had such talented wide receivers and an outstanding running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So you're going to try to replicate what you did in 2019, but the personnel is certainly not what it was in 2021. So hopefully the defense is better. So there was so much talk as 2020 was going about trying to reduce the explosive plays, and Coach O was still talking about that at SEC Media Days on Monday last week. So hopefully a lot of the issues that they had on defense last year will be corrected, because they obviously got to play better on that side of the football. That's kind of where it starts for them.
Wrapping up our conversation with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He joins us here on RP3 and Company. All right, Bud, what's the latest for COVID-19 here in the state of Louisiana? And give us the latest on what the governor would like residents to do, or what he could possibly do to kind of combat the rise in cases.
Well, at this moment, he's recommending that all people, vaccinated and unvaccinated, wear masks indoors if social distancing cannot be maintained. So this is not a mask mandate. I don't know if we'll go back to the days of the mask mandates, because I don't – the word mandate obviously brought a lot of pushback. So maybe this is a softer, gentle, more gentle, kinder way of saying, hey, wear a mask if you're indoors. But we have seen an explosion of COVID-19 cases. Last night, Congressman Clay Higgins confirming that he has tested positive for the virus, along with his son and his wife. And the state is dealing with the Delta variant, and this has shown that it can transmit from one person to another more efficiently than what we were experiencing last year. And we're now above 1,000 people who are hospitalized as a result of COVID-19. Will we see more restrictions? That remains to be seen. I think the one thing that the governor could do is reduce occupancy at some businesses, but we'll see. We'll see if this thing levels off a little bit, this fourth surge that we're experiencing right now. But it's just like with conference realignment, this is going in a direction that you might not want it to go, or you certainly don't want it to go here when it comes to COVID. That's for sure.
Jeff, appreciate your time. As always, keep up the tremendous work you're doing with Tiger Rag Radio and Louisiana Radio Network. My friend, we'll talk to you next Monday, brother.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Raymond.
Yeah, I'll just jump on what he said there. I don't believe we'll go back to a mandate. You'll just be strongly recommended everywhere you go. That's how I feel. That's what I think is going to happen. We're going to take a time out. More RP3 and Company, though, coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I mean, how could you not feel good listening to that song, Mr. Diaz?
Woo!
A little 311 for you, bud.
I like that song.
There it is! Once again, learning more and more about you every day. The picture's getting a little bit clearer every single day. Poll question of the day. It's clear how you guys feel about that. As we wrap up hour number two, how do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? 56% of you are putting your fandom aside and saying they could compete in the SEC. Proud of you, Acadiana. Proud of you today. Surprised. Taken back a little bit, but pleasantly. Proud of you. 56% of you say they could compete in the SEC. 23% say now middle of the pack. We're down to 18% for say, who cares, go Tigers. You're feeling good about yourself now, Nick. Only 3% say they would struggle. Brad on Twitter says they can compete, especially Oklahoma, but who cares? Go Tigers! 3 exclamation points.
That's important. 3 exclamation points.
Shout out to Brad on Twitter. Hour number two in the books. Hour number three coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Three has arrived, and it feels so good. Good morning. Welcome to this Monday edition of RP3 and Company. We are broadcasting from inside the First South Farm Credit Studios here in Upper Lafayette. You can also catch us on the simulcast on Stadium, free over-the-air sports, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. You can listen to us on your radio dial or as well as the free 103.7 The Game mobile app. Go download it right now. Should have it on your phone. Or you can listen to us on Google Home or Alexa. We've spent the first 2 hours of today's show talking about the story of sports, the story of college sports in particular. OU, Texas, looks like it's going to be a done deal. They're headed over to the SEC. Realignment, expansion, super conferences, it's all on the table. All on the table. What happens next? We recapped for you what happened over the weekend concerning the OU, Texas leaving for the SEC. The reports that Texas A&M was not in the loop was, in fact, has been proven inaccurate. Brett McMurphy touched on that, reported on that over the weekend, that in fact Texas A&M had been part of this from the beginning. They had knowledge of this from the beginning. We also had a statement from the Texas A&M president saying how committed they are to the SEC. 100%. So that vote that would need to happen to not allow Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, that looks like that's just not going to happen. Because we talked about it last week. Reports had come out that Texas A&M and Missouri would be against it. But now we find out this weekend that, in fact, this has been in the works through back channels for a year. For a year. Not 6 months, a year. So groundwork is being laid, has been laid for a year to make this happen. You think this is going to all of a sudden fall apart at the 11th hour? You think Greg Sankey is going to allow this to fall apart at the 11th hour? No. Greg Sankey's not going to allow that. He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure everyone feels better about themselves, about this issue. Missouri, you don't like it? It's okay. Here's another check. Remember how we took care of you during COVID? Remember that $25 million check we cut you? Just know that we take care of our people. We'll take care of you here, bud. Not to worry. Also, whether they go with just two divisions or three divisions, couldn't they just go with three divisions as well, Nick? I mean, we talk about the pod system with the expansion up to 16. Could we go three divisions?
Three divisions. How would that work? Like, how would that work as far as, like, determining a champion?
I haven't figured that part out yet, bud.
You just throwing it out there?
Oh, okay. I got you. Your three division winners and a wild card go into a playoff for the SEC. Once again, you can just increase your revenue. Oh, hey, by the way, ESPN, we have now this as well. Not only do we have all these other teams, guess what we're going to do for you? We're not going to play any of those non-conference games that no one loves us to play against inferior competition. We're going to play a conference-only slate, and at the end of the year, our three division champs in one wild card, the highest-ranked team of the four, they're all going to get into, they're going to play two semifinal games. Oh, and then we'll still have our SEC championship. See how that works? Now they've generated another excuse for more television revenue by having a playoff inside their own conference.
I don't know if I see that happening. I mean, that's interesting because, it's all about money. But I think that pod thing that they
I do like
out,
the pod idea a lot.
That just makes too much sense. Also, the SEC Network literally put that out the day after the news broke by the Houston Chronicle.
They just whipped that up on the fly.
So you know what else happened 6 or 7 months ago? The SEC announced its deal with the Walt Disney Company. The 10-year, $3 billion with the B-B-B-B.
That's correct.
Which, that usually takes about a year to negotiate.
Yeah.
So, that they probably got wind of that SEC Disney
$3 billion deal. Texas, Oklahoma found out about the billion-dollar deal.
$3 billion.
And they said, hey, we want some of that.
I want that.
Just saying. I do like the pod idea. I still think, do not be surprised if you see them create their own playoff to crown a champion. Because then, you know what you can do, Nick? Then for the college football playoff, it takes another step. So let's say you go with the pods. Well, pod makes it even better. Because then you go with the pod system, and now you can have your four pod champions and two wild cards.
And then if Alabama wins, it would be the Tide Pod.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Nice. So then you could have six teams in the playoff to crown a conference champion. That would essentially, there would be no non-conference games whatsoever. None. Which a lot of the coaches would prefer. That's another thing that COVID showed us, right? COVID forced the issue with the NCAA, with NIL, and with transferring. And this kind of paved the way for this. But COVID also showed us that, hey, conference-only scheduling. Wow. That kind of worked out pretty well for everyone. I'm telling you, there's going to be a big push for that. And if you do that to help with your television contract, then you just add games on the back end. You just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to have no non-conference games. Okay, well, boom. Then you can start the conference tournament. You can have a conference tournament for football.
Could we see a shortened regular season? Like only 9 or 10 game regular season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't work if you didn't have it around 9 or 10 games. It just wouldn't be able to work that way. And then you could make the argument, then the SEC would make the argument when it came to the college football playoff. Well, look, our team that finished as runner-up in the conference tournament, or our team that finished as a semifinalist in a conference tournament, deserves to be in this college football playoff. Once again,
It's all about money. It's all about money. I do love the pod system, though. Pod system makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, so
for just from the point of view of scheduling, I think it makes a ton of sense because you play three opponents over and over again. It's very much the NFL model where you play your divisional opponents. It's just in college you wouldn't play them twice. That's actually what the Southland's doing this year because of teams being poached. They're playing every opponent twice, by the way, for football, which is crazy. So you'd play three teams every year, and then you'd be on a rotation. So you'd play – we'd get those Alabama-Florida matchups more often. We'd get LSU-Georgia more often. That's a good thing, right? Then imagine you get Oklahoma-Alabama, Texas-LSU.
Ooh, I like that.
See? Now you're talking. Yeah, every once in a while you're going to have to play Vandy in Kentucky and Missouri, but you'll still get to play some of those other kind of – it'll be a nice – it feels like the pod system would allow it to have a nice mixture of those kind of sexy marquee games and then just the normal games. And in a lot of ways, those kind of low-level conference games – would essentially be kind of like your non-conference games now, right? That would kind of serve that role. Be like, oh.
Like the rent-a-wins, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cheap money grab that the athletic directors started doing years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd rather play Vanderbilt or Missouri or Kentucky, a bad Kentucky team, I should say, than the rent-a-wins versus FCS's opponents.
And you know who wants to go conference-only scheduling? You know who's a big fan of it?
Who?
That'd be Nick Saban.
Yeah. Well, he said that for years.
He's been saying that for years. They don't do exactly what he says, but they listen. And I also think if you're the SEC, you proved to yourself last year that it could work. So I think the era of we had the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl kickoff and bowl game CEO on last week during Media Days. And he said, look, it looks to be that it's going to be a challenge. I still think maybe you go with a 9-game regular season, Nick, and you could have one non-conference game against one of the other big super conferences.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that works, right?
Because it's cool when Ohio State and Oklahoma square up.
Yes, I agree. I agree totally. So that could still be cool, and that could be your that's how you could kick off your college. Everyone would play their one non-conference game against one of the other super conferences the very first week of the season. You just bust it up big time. And that's how you just dominate. And then you go right into conference scheduling. And then you get like Georgia, Florida, or Alabama, LSU, or whatever it might be. And just go through it. I love that. I think the pod idea is genius. You cannot convince me otherwise that the folks who made that up for the SEC Network the day after the news broke, that has not been developed and thought out for months.
Just look at the NFL. But here's a question I want to pose to you, though, and this is something that Jeff brought up, which is he said that people don't like these teams unlike the NBA, the super teams, so to speak, that some say it's bad for the sport. And he says, could this have the possible same effect on college football? Because all these teams are teaming up to join super conferences.
No,
I agree. I disagree with him in that it's two completely different things. It's basically saying they're giving a better product.
Here's the other thing: if that was the case, Alabama and the SEC's dominated college football for the past 20 years. We've had the same four teams essentially make the college football playoff since it started. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State. Has that hurt the ratings? Has that hurt the television contracts? Didn't they just sign billions of dollar deal? You see what I'm saying?
Some of the national, like the college football playoff ratings have declined a little. Like the games themselves.
Ratings are overrated.
I agree, but...
And I tell you what, because people are watching differently... and you can't track the information like you used to. Streaming is something that they haven't really figured out how to track for ratings purposes.
They've tried,
but it's still tricky. And It has to matter. Even the traditional way of looking at things, the traditional way of saying, well, this is successful because it has so many ratings, is irrelevant. They're getting the money. Like that's all that matters. As long as advertisers are still wanting to shell out dollars to advertise in those games to pay the network, so for the network can turn around and pay the SEC that a massive amount of money, that's all that matters, and that has not declined. That rate continues to go up year after year after year after year. And you've had one conference dominate college football for the better part of 20 years. So you've already had super teams, right? So you've had, this is what, like in that span of 20 years, LSU won 3 national championships, Alabama won a bunch, Auburn won one, played for another, Florida won 2. Georgia's played for one. Even if you take the SEC out of it, Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio State have dominated the playoff era by being in it. And Notre Dame would be your, I guess, really your, you've been in it, what, 3 times? It doesn't matter. It has not mattered. It did not matter when you had teams dominating the BCS era, and it has not mattered as we've ventured into the college football playoff era. I hear people talk about, oh, it's bad for college football. It hasn't stopped people. It hasn't stopped people from watching. It hasn't stopped people from digesting it. It hasn't stopped people from going to games.
Ooh, that going to game part. Yeah, no, that's declined. That is legitimately.
You just literally told me 2 weeks ago that LSU hasn't seen a decline.
No, I didn't. I never said
we LSU talked about fan enthusiasm. You said that there has not been a decline.
Those words never left my mouth. I will go back and play that tape. I never said that there was not a decline.
Because I brought up DiNardo and Archer, and you said that no, fans still showed up all the time. It was still packed Tiger Stadium.
Was it as packed as it was when Saban or Les Miles or what? No, but they still showed up. But the average decline of LSU has been the same way as it is across college football. That's a problem across all of college football. There's just been a decline in attendance ratings. And this would actually help that because now you don't have the Renewin games. And so if like Texas is coming to town as opposed to, you know, I don't know, Texas State.
Oh, throwing shade at the Bobcats.
See, I didn't want to pick a Louisiana team.
Oh, this man didn't want to pick a Louisiana team.
I didn't want because I didn't want to throw shade at Louisiana teams. Whatever, you know what I mean. But no, I never said.
Once again, that goes back to my greater point. Attendance doesn't matter. Ratings don't matter.
Well, they do for concessions. For the product on the field.
Greg Sankey gave teams last year a $25 million check each.
I get that.
So so Tiger Stadium has 10,000 less fans because people are watching at home. Once again, a dip in attendance, a dip in ratings. Did that stop Disney from giving the SEC that contract?
Well, there was a dip in the national championship ratings or the college football playoff ratings. Regular season's gone up. For the most part, or stayed steady.
But even the negatives that you can pull up did not stop the contract.
Well, no, because see, here's the thing. It's not so much for me. It's not so much about money as it is. I just like a good product on the field, and that means packed houses. That means Power 5 schools playing each other. That I'm more concerned about the quality of the atmosphere of college football, not so much the money. The money's going to come because everything's gone streaming, and live networks, they need live sports.
That's correct.
More than ever. So I'm more concerned. I'm less concerned about money. I'm concerned about the culture, the cultural impact of, say, college football, the product on the field of college football. That's what I'm concerned about.
But wouldn't you view this expansion as a good thing?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not necessarily because of money, but because of quality of opponents, quality of just everything, of on the field, good quality. I don't like bad sports. Don't like bad sports watching, whether it's there or at home.
So what qualifies, I'm curious, what quantifies bad sports watching for you? A rout against an inferior team?
Yeah, like the Renawin games. The Renawin games that not enough people show up to, people leave at halftime. When you have more, I mean, you're going to have routes either way. Like Alabama's going to eventually, you know, blew out LSU last year. Even if there was no COVID, people probably would have left at halftime. So that's those games are eventually going to happen between the two big boy schools.
Correct.
But if you have Texas and Oklahoma and you're playing a 9-10 game schedule and it's all Power 5 schools, the chances of that, it decreases. It can still happen, it just decreases.
I got you.
And, of course, the atmosphere, the pageantry. Tiger Stadium is different when Kentucky comes to town as opposed to when Alabama comes to town. Still an SEC school, but you can just feel it even come out of the television.
I would agree with
nationally.
That. I would agree with that.
That's what I mean.
Oh, see? There we go. Clarification. My man delivers the goods. I mean, you could argue that, you know, Vandy's the Mercer, though. Of the cop. Yeah, or South Carolina. Does that really, you know.
Well,
there's a couple of teams that just can't really get excited about in the conference. But, once again, here's the great thing about that, especially if you're talking about the pod system. So you'd play Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Those would be games that the fan base would be excited about.
Most years, yes.
So you wouldn't have, then you'd probably deal with a stinker here and there because of the lower level teams in the conference, right? But you wouldn't have that many of them. You just wouldn't have that many of them. Now, there's also the negative to all that. The fact that the money that those lottery games, if you want to call it such, that helps fund those other programs. So if we go in this direction, just know that it will have a huge impact financially on all the other schools that don't get to be part of the Super Conference.
I have an opinion on that. We'll talk about that later, maybe on another day, but we got to hit a break.
Oh, that's to tease. We do have to hit a timeout. Nick won't stop talking. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, simulcast on Stadium, 32.3 and 133 on LUS. The whole college football world's been turned upside down, topsy-turvy, if you will, and our next guest is hopefully going to make sense of it. He is a columnist and reporter for Saturday Down South. He's our good friend, the one and only Adam Spencer. Adam, good morning to you, bud. All right, what do you make of Texas, Oklahoma, allegedly, reportedly, apparently headed to the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I think it looks like it's pretty inevitable at this point with just with the way that all these rumors are coming out, all these reports. You know, the Big 12 seems to be scrambling to figure out what to do. I think the latest report last night was like, hey, you know, Big 12's like, tell us what you're doing. Like, don't play with us. Don't, like, if you're leaving, tell us if there's something that you want in order to stay, then tell us that and we'll do it. But, you know, as a Mizzou graduate, you know, this is something that teams in the Big 12 have been dealing with for a while. Like, if you're going to be in the Big 12, you got to play Texas's game. And Mizzou and Texas A&M got tired of that. So they bolted for the SEC and now Texas and Oklahoma want to join. But, you know, Texas has to realize, hey, if you come to the SEC, like, you're not the big dog anymore. You're just one of many big dogs. So you're going to have to play ball and you can't, like the Longhorn Network's probably going away. You know, you're not special if you come to the SEC, and that's what Texas is going to have to realize here pretty quick.
Is that the thing that's most surprising to you, Adam? That two programs rich in tradition, rich in history with national championships and Heisman winners, we're talking two of the top 10 greatest programs in college football history, are opting to give up power to join the SEC.
No, I'm not. And, you know, I think that if there is another round of expansion coming, you know, those schools want to get the best fits for them. And, you know, Greg Sankey, he's pushed all the right buttons since he's taken over the SEC. So, you know, he doesn't want to get left out in the dust. As much as it might be weird to add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, he would rather them be in the SEC than in the Pac-12, for example. He doesn't want the Pac-12 gaining anything on the SEC. So, you know, with this move, the SEC, even if Notre Dame joins the Big Ten or the ACC, even if, you know, some of these other Big 12 programs end up joining the Pac-12, the SEC is still standing there as the best of the best. You know, you can't argue. I think they would have like eight of the top 20 or something all-time winningest programs in college football in the conference with this update. So, you know, it makes sense for everyone involved. If this is where college football is heading, and it seems like it is, because you know, Greg Sankey doesn't make mistakes. And you know, there was all this outrage about Texas A&M potentially being mad and saying that they were blindsided. They weren't blindsided. Greg Sankey would never do that. So somebody in the know at A&M knew what was going on and signed off on it. And this is just the way college football is going. And everybody involved is going to make more money. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Adam, appreciate you making the time for us. But is this going to spill the end for the Big 12 as we know it? Is it going to dissolve and get poached out by other conferences?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there's different reports out there. You know, there's a report that says, you know, the Big 12 is going to look to poach some AAC teams like UCF, Cincinnati, Houston. There's other reports out there that say the AAC and Big 12 are going to merge. And then there's another report out there that says, no, the AAC is actually going to poach a bunch of Big 12 teams. So, you know, it's still early in that process. And I know like Kansas wants to get into the Big 10. I don't know if that's going to happen. If they do, I don't know if Iowa State's going to get brought along with them, because, you know, much like Texas A&M, Iowa might have something to say about Iowa State being invited to the Big Ten. So, you know, it's a really worrying time to be a non-Texas, non-Oklahoma Big 12 program. But, you know, that's something that Mizzou and Texas A&M saw several years ago. And we're like, well, we'll take our talents elsewhere. But yeah, it's a scary time, especially for programs like Kansas State and TCU. You know, those are two teams that I think could be in a world of hurt if things start divvying up, because they don't have a natural fit. You know, Baylor, Texas Tech, I could see them joining the Pac-12. You know, maybe even a school like Oklahoma State goes out west of the Pac-12. But you know, there's going to be some schools that are left out, and that's what the fallout is, and that's why dealing with Texas has been so fraught with peril for the past several years.
We're talking with Adam Spencer of Saturday Down South. He joins us talking all things college football. My next question to you is, are we going to expect the other three conferences, if they were, you know, if the Big 12 dissolves, Pac-12, Big 10, and ACC, do we expect them to jump up to 16 automatically, so they can all be on even ground, so to speak, with the SEC when it comes to teams?
I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me. I would think that, you know, and it would be pretty easy if you know, I think West Virginia is an easy fit for the ACC. You know, they would love to have Notre Dame as a full-time football member. Then you could get, like I mentioned, in the Big Ten, you could add Kansas and Iowa State. And then, you know, there's a variety of options for the Pac-12, you know, with those, you could add the four Texas schools the three Texas schools that are remaining, TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State. And then there you go. Now you have four conferences with 16 teams in it. And I think that does ultimately make sense. It's just, you know, there are 65 Power Five teams plus Notre Dame right now. And four conferences of 16 adds up to 64. So it's like, which team is the one that gets left out? So that's why I'm saying, like, if I was TCU or Kansas State, I'd be a little worried right now, because one of those programs is probably going to have to drop down to the AAC.
All right, bud, we'll get you out of here with this. Is this going to help pave the way within the next 10 years for the four super conferences, so to speak, to just go ahead and remove themselves from the NCAA altogether?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what this is all about at the end of the day. I think, you know, Sankey in particular, he's playing his cards. He's, you know, if you get Texas and Oklahoma in there, then, you know, you're the power in college athletics. Like, it's not Power Five, it's not Power Three, it's not Power Two, it's the SEC and everyone else. And, you know, so he can be the trendsetter. He can pretty much dictate what they're going to do. And if the other conferences band together and we're like, we're not going to play SEC schools, it's like, okay, well, they've got 16 of the biggest names in college football. So they'd be happy to play each other. You know, you do this pod system, you play a 10 game regular season, then you have each division winner. So you have two semifinals and then a final in the SEC championship tournament. And then you go on to the college football playoff. Like that's fine at the end of the day, if that's what the other conferences want to do. That's what this is all about, though. It's so that the SEC doesn't have to worry about what other conferences want to do. They can do whatever they want. And if others want to follow suit, fine. If not, then you're going to get left behind. That's what it's all about.
Adam, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week, and hopefully there'll be some more chaos for you to have to report on in the next couple of days, bud.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Thanks for having me.
It's Adam Spencer from Saturday Down South. We've got to take a timeout when we return. John J. Hendricks from SI Now. He covers the Saints. He's going to join us here in RP3 and Company. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. DraftKings is live here in the Bayou State. That's right, Louisiana, with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's and crossing those T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into a DraftKings daily fantasy contest with your first deposit of $5 or more, and you get a free shot at winning $1,000. Thousands of dollars, rather. Go download the top-rated DraftKings app right now and use code 1037GAME. Use the code 1037GAME when you sign up. For a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. There's never been a better time than right now to get in all the action with DraftKings and a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Don't forget, enter the code 1037GAME only on the DraftKings app. Don't forget to vote on our poll question of the day as well. It's available right now on our Twitter account. Leave your comments on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll update it before we wrap up today's show. Right now, it's time for us to talk a little black and gold with one of the best in the business. He is a reporter for SI Now. He covers the New Orleans Saints. He's also the proud of Como High School, the one and only John J. Hendricks. John, good morning, bud. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You always kill me with that Como High thing, man.
Look, man, I'm working behind the scenes to get a statue erected outside the school, so not to worry. It won't be embarrassing
okay.
at all for you.
Yeah, you just let me know how that keeps going. So we'll come up, coming up on 20 years soon enough. But, yeah, it's been a long time.
I know, bud. I know. All right, let's start off. I know training camp starts this week. We'll get to that. But they sign a cornerback over the weekend, pull a good one. Not a great cornerback, but a good cornerback. They add some quality depth there, John. My question to you, though, is I'm a little confused. They need a guy to be the number two cornerback to be able to play on the outside. They sign a guy who's primarily a slot guy. They already have that in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Why did the Saints make this move?
Yeah, look, I mean, they had the roster spots. So going into this, they had 85 of their 90 spots filled. So they had some room, and obviously pulls a guy that's been on their radar for a bit. And so, look, you can't have too much depth, right? And I think it gives them some flexibility, you know, to make sure and see what they want. And obviously they're looking at other roles that could be potentially filled. I mean, you got an opening on special teams with a gunner and jammer. Not saying that Brian Poole would be that guy, but look, he's a veteran. Plays really great in a slot. Maybe it frees up some different looks for you. You know, PJ Williams is a guy that was put back on the safety spot. you know, I just feel like there's some interchangeable parts that you get with somebody like that. And look, I mean, again, a 5'10" slot corner, you know, is it really ideal having him match up against Mike Evans or something like that? Probably not. But at this point, doing their due diligence, I don't think they're done. You know, obviously everybody was expecting a veteran corner like Drake Patrick or, you know, even Richard Sherman back before everything happened. But, you know, look, I think that this is just one of those moves that they make, bring veterans to camp, see what happens on it. Obviously, we haven't seen contract details, but, you know, smart signing, very good, very talented prospect, and maybe it gives them a little bit more flexibility if they decide to make a little bit more creative looks with some of their injuries and some of their misfortune on defense lately.
You're talking about misfortune on defense. Are they going to sign a defensive tackle, and who are some candidates that they could possibly bring in or maybe trade for, John?
Yeah, look, I would expect them to. I mean, again, you don't have that much money in the bank just to let it sit idle, right? And I feel like, obviously, you were going into this season with Malcolm Roach and Shy Tuttle that was going to kind of fill that Malcolm Brown role. But obviously, that's more of a run stuffer. And Onyemata's, he's good against the run, but he's also a great pass rusher. So now you're kind of faced with a little bit of hesitation there, because you got Ryan Glasgow. He played a couple of games for you last year. You got a guy like Josiah Bronson, undrafted guy that you can see what you got there. And you've also have, you know, some of these other guys that have been buried on the depth chart. Lorenzo Neal Jr. is another one to look out for. Jalen Dalton was having a great camp last year before he had that season ending triceps injury. So look, it's just a lot of uncertainty, and I think it's what's concerning. So it wouldn't surprise me to look at a veteran. I mean, guys like Geno Atkins are still out there, even though he's kind of a shell of himself. I think that's been a big popular one that Saints Twitter has been kind of clamoring for. I like Jarrell Casey as a potential add there. You know, there's a lot of other free agents out there that they could potentially look at. But look, you know, they got to figure this thing out. I think it's a possibility too, but, you know, it's not the only position they have to address. They got to look at wide receiver now. They brought in Quan Alexander. That was kind of a little bit interesting, to say the least. And not that Quan isn't talented, but, you know, you spent that high pick on Pete Warner, and, you know, you thought that he'd be kind of the guy. And so if they bring in a guy like Quan Alexander at this point too, what does that say about how confident they feel about the guys behind Demario Davis too?
We're talking with John J. Hendricks. He covers the Saints for SI Now. He joins us here on RP3 and Company. Saw a lot of banter on social media over the weekend about a reunion with Brandon Cooks. What do you make of that, John?
I think it's just banter at this point. Look, they're doing their due diligence. You know, right now they're trying out wide receivers. One of those that was paired to him was Chris Hogan, formerly of the Jets, Patriots guy. He's actually playing lacrosse, but they granted him an interview. I mean, sorry, with a tryout and stuff. So that'll be interesting. I don't know if it'll be a high caliber guy. I mean, you know, guys like Larry Fitzgerald, they're out there, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, even Dez Bryant, right? And so I'm interested to see.
Oh, we finally get the Dez Bryant reunion.
You never know, right? And so I would be interested to see how this all plays out. You know, I know that the Saints believe a lot in their wide receiver core, but look, not having Michael Thomas, which, again, let's clarify, is 12 to 16 weeks time frame from June, not during the season. So potentially could have him back late October, early November. Just depends on, A, his rehab and how his recovery goes. And then big thing is going to be how he cuts when he does his routes and how he feels there. So big loss for this team. I think they can weather some of these storms, but again, you know, their first half of their schedule is pretty favorable. But look, you know, you're going to look at some wide receivers. There's going to be a ton of tryout players. There's going to be a lot of guys that are just going to come there. But I don't know if it's going to be the flashy names that most people have kind of been paired to. D.D. Westbrook was a guy I was really high on even before he signed with the Vikings. But, you know, another one that could make sense, if it's not Brandon Cooks, a former Saint, could be Kenny Stills, still staying out there. So, look, I wouldn't be surprised for them to bring in a bunch of these receivers. But I don't buy too much into that Cooks talk right now.
Let's talk about Michael Thomas, because I'm confused a little bit here. So he has the injury last year. He plays through it. He gets banged up and he still plays through an injury. Why did he wait till June to have the surgery, John? What happened there?
Well, look, I think, again, so my eyebrows started raising with Sean Payton in minicamp, right? And he kind of just, we talked about Thomas a little bit, and he's like, so far, so good was this comment. He was getting tested daily, you know, all these different things. And apparently, you know, from what I've gathered and what I've understood, that the second diagnosis or the thing in the middle is what kind of missed and has led to this whole entire thing. And it just didn't seem like it was getting any better. And that high ankle stuff, that's just a really tricky injury to come back. But I knew when Peyton was talking about it, I knew he wasn't 100%. And hopefully he would have been able to be better at this point. But now you have to have the surgery. Now you're going to be without one of your best offensive playmakers. And it was big for him because, you know, he had a down season last year. And obviously after being the offensive player of the year, I mean, his trajectory just going downwards. Right. And so that's something you never want to see. But hopefully he can get it together in the back half of the schedule, 17 game season. That's really where they're going to need him, especially in the playoffs. But man, it is a just not a good look. And again, it overshadows things because I've seen people talk about him, you know, trade him. He's the locker room cancer, just saying all these different things. But Thomas is a competitor, man. He's going to bounce back, and the Saints are going to need him. And, you know, unfortunately, it overshadows some of the great work he does in the community, like, you know, providing the 500 meals of families and such.
But which he did Saturday, right, John? And even he still did that on Saturday. Are you worried at all about a disconnect between the Saints front office and one of their star players? Typically, you would make sure your guy got the surgery done and did that everything, especially when you had plenty of time to get it done. Are you a little concerned at all about a disconnect between Thomas and the front office when it came to that?
No, I don't think so, because, I mean, you got to think about it. These players play hurt all the time, right? And they want to be on the field. They want to be available. You know, Cam Jordan's played hurt. You know, guys on the offensive line have played hurt. I mean, that's what we don't see. It's not that, you know, there's anything like that. It's just Thomas wants to be there. He wants to be there for those guys. I mean, he's definitely, I believe, a team player. You know, I don't think it's anything too much to read into, but again, it's very unfortunate how it all played out. And I'm sure he felt he was good to go and things happened, but you know, again, it's a high ankle injury. It's unpredictable in some aspects, but you know, again, the bottom line is now he's going to be able to get the surgeries, get the treatment, and then, you know, we'll be able to go from there. And, you know, people forget about going into the offseason last year, he had some different surgery. Right. And correct. So, I mean, again, nobody really talked about that, but it's like, you know, I feel like there's no disconnect there, and he's a great player. He's going to be on the Saints team. I don't think anybody should start looking into it more at this point.
Talking with John J. Hendricks, covers the Saints for SI Now. All right, bud, we'll get you out of here with this. Training camp starts this week. What are you looking for this very first week as everyone reports and they start working out down there in Metairie?
Can I say everything? No, I mean, it really is. I mean, you joke, but like, look, it's crazy because again, you have so much to pay attention to. I mean, the quarterback battle is going to dominate the storylines here, right? Between Jameis and Taysom. But look, again, I'm looking for big things on the offensive line. Is how is Cesar Ruiz progressing? How does Andres Pete look in this year? I mean, that interior line besides Merrick McCoy has a lot of room for improvement and growth. So I really want to see that. Adam Trautman, you know, we've talked a lot about him and how he's going to make a huge leap this year. I'm interested to see that. Wide receiver now becomes a focal point. Special teams, the gunner and jammer battle, that kind of gets me excited. The punter battle even gets me excited, right? And I think that's going to be cool things to see. The rookie class, you know, Ian Book, what does he look like? Kwon Baker, what does he look like? Landon Young, excuse me, he'd be a guy to keep an eye on the offensive line too. And then defensively, how do they compensate a defensive tackle? Do they rotate Cam in sometimes? Do they rotate Peyton Turner, the rookie 24th overall or 28th overall pick in there? And then linebacker, what does that look like? And then obviously the depth at secondary. I mean, I think the real big, you know, not question marks on this roster, the offensive line necessarily. It's the strength going into this season and the safety position, but everything else you can kind of, you know, and defensive line pass rushers, but you know, everything else you can be like, let me take a little bit closer look here.
You mentioned you were excited about punter and I got number love for you for that, bud. I got number love for you that someone's missed football and someone's missed covering training camp in a more traditional fashion, I do believe.
Yeah, special teams do matter and they do count for stuff. So
especially
especially
for the Saints.
Yeah, exactly. So look, I mean, you don't want to go regress. You know, obviously Morstead is great in his time here and he's going to be forever remembered. I think he'll probably go into Saints Ring of Honor with Drew. I think that should be the case. But look, you know, you got a punter battle on your hands, and I think that's pretty exciting to pay attention to.
John, appreciate your time as always, brother. Keep up the tremendous work that you're doing for SI Now, and we'll talk to you very soon, my friend.
Thanks, man. Have a good rest of the show.
It's John J. Hendricks, SI Now, Saints reporter, Como High legend. We got to take a timeout. We'll update the poll question of the day. Get you set up for Footnotes with Kevin Foote. That's all next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. There's no better time than right now to join the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. It's free to join, and you'll get the chance to enter to win great stuff, like a $40 gift card to Misfits Dine and Drink in Broussard. Great place to get some drinks and some appetizers after a full round of golf at Le Triomphe Golf and Country Club. But you can only win that $40 gift card to Misfits Dine and Drink by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. So go sign up today. It's free to do so. I want to take a moment to thank our guests for kicking off the week with us. John J. Hendricks from SI Now talking Saints. Adam Spencer from Saturday Down South talking the state of college football. And Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network, talking a little SEC media days, college football, and of course, the latest with COVID-19 here in the state of Louisiana. We did have a poll question of the day, Mr. Diaz. Can you provide us with the final results of said poll question of the day, as I get to some comments here that we had on Facebook? Steve says on Facebook to our poll question of the day, how do you think Oklahoma and Texas would fare in the SEC? Steve says it will improve the SEC. Can we give the Big 12 Missouri and South Carolina? Ouch. They have zero impact in the sport. Then no pod system, revenue upgrade, exciting new matchups, and peace in the world. Go Tigers. Jamie on Facebook says they would finish third or fourth at best in either East or West. No way past Bama, LSU, Georgia, or Florida.
Final poll results. Surprising. 51% say they could compete. 29% say middle of the pack. 4% say they would struggle. And 16%, who cares? Go Tigers.
We'll do it all again tomorrow from 6 to 9. But until then, be safe out there. Be kind to one another. Footnotes with Kevin Foote is up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.